Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Vapiano SE H1 2017 analyst call. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Ms. Andrea Kolbering, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead, madam.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us on our conference call today to review Vapiano's first half-year results following our IPO in June. With me today are Jochen Heilsmann, our CEO, and Lutz Schaper, our CFO. Both will be available for Q&As following today's presentation. As already indicated, this call is being recorded. Later today, we will upload the recording to our investor relations website. With regard to forward-looking statements, we reference to the disclaimer in our presentation. Now I'd like to hand you over to Jochen and Lutz, who will review the H1 2017 results. Jochen and Lutz, please go ahead.
Thank you, Anke. Good morning, everybody. We are very happy to welcome you for our first earnings call after our IPO end of June. As you have seen, we published this morning at 7:30 our Q2 and H1 figures. Let me start by summarizing briefly the highlights of the first half year 2017 of Vapiano. First of all, our rollout is full on track. We have opened end of June eight new units, and our pipeline going forward for 2017 is fully secured. As of today, we are already running 190 units. Q2 delivered a strong growth in net sales, with an increase of 42.2%, up to 78.2 million euros. That sums up with the good results of Q1 to an increase of 40.9% for the first half year, meaning 153.6 million euros net sales. We are not only growing by new openings and the full year impact of the openings of last year, we're even more growing by comp sales. We are very content to announce that we are looking on the strongest comp sales growth by 5 years for the first half year 2017. Having said that, we managed to grow by 6.3% comp in Q2, and that sums up to a first half year comp sales growth of 5.8%. Next to the strong growth sales on a comp sales basis, as you know, we are focusing very strongly with our initiatives to grow EBITDA and margin. Q2 achieved an adjusted EBITDA of almost 9 million euros, 8.9 million, which means an increase versus previous year of 47.9%. For the full first half year, we grew over proportionally in our EBITDA by 52.5% for the first half year versus first half year 2016, meaning we achieved 15.9% EBITDA growth. Very important for us is that all segments, and just to remind you, segments means our three clusters, Germany, rest of Europe, and rest of world, contributed all to the comp sales growth as well as to the EBITDA growth. Our digitalization path, which means additional guest journeys, very much focusing on takeaway and home delivery business, is also full on track. Having said that, you remember we announced 2 weeks ago that we have already opened end of June 51 takeaway and home delivery areas within our existing restaurant network, and that means that year to date, we already achieved 27% of our network with takeaway and home delivery segmentations. Just as a reminder of our track record delivering growth across the regions and all operating models, we just wanted to update you on our growth plan. Remember, we grew by 13, 14 restaurants in the last years. This year, we achieved already 12 openings year to date. and we have a very high visibility on our pipeline for the rest of the year as well as for 18 already. So I just want to confirm that the planned openings for the rest of the year are fully signed and in execution for Q3 and Q4. So the rollout story with acceleration in unit growth post-IPO is full on track. 190 units running. The dynamic operating model is also providing our flexibility on capital allocation, and the risk diversification per model regionally is also fully executed so far. But not only growing with new units is important for Vapiano. I just want to remind you that management is also focusing very much on driving growth and margins beyond the new units in the existing units. And I just wanted to point out that the strategic initiatives that improve our customer experience, that improve the spend of our guests, are fully on track. And we focus very much, as I just mentioned, on the rollout of takeaway and home delivery, as well as the productivity increase, meaning the operational excellency program that is launched already internationally. And we are also very happy. Those two initiatives, as you know, are part of our growth case and our business case, but also our pilots, which might give us further flexibility and opportunity to grow and enhance our margins, are pretty much on track. Let me start with our People app. The People app is rolled out now in Germany and in Austria. We are very happy to have more than 140,000 guests actively using the app already. The terminal ordering pilot is doing pretty well with an average 12% increase of guest spending. We also opened in July the second pilot of our new Vapiano, the mini Vapiano, which might be a supplement for our growth story, which is an evolution to the first that we opened in Ingolstadt. And the first results of the first 4 weeks are pretty promising. And last but not least, on our menu innovation side, we are very happy to experience in the first half year a great success with the first, let's say, carb-free basis in our pasta assortment by introducing the zoodles, which are zucchini noodles. And we will further strengthen that part of carb-free offerings next to gluten, vegetarian, vegan, and lactose-free, and of course sugar-reduced opportunities for our guests. Having said that, our initiatives are fully in execution, and we're fully on track on what we promised to the market, that with the takeaway and home delivery, as well as the operational excellency measurements, we are aiming to increase our four-wall margin of the restaurant business from today 17 to 20% by 3 basis points until 2020 without additional initiatives, as I just mentioned, People App, terminal ordering, or mini Vapiano. Before I hand over to Lutz to give you an idea on the EBITDA and WIC development, let me briefly come to the turnover figures. Sales and like-for-like growth by segment in the second quarter of this year have developed very positively. Overall, the group grew by 42.2% net sales, certainly strongly supported by France and Sweden, which is fully incorporated in our net sales after the acquisitions last year. Having said that, this growth is not only coming from new openings and the acquisitions, but very strongly also in Q2 from a 6.3% comp sales increase, which is coming from 7.4% comp sales increase in the German market, 5.4% increase in rest of Europe, and 4.4% comp sales increase in rest of world. Having said that, Germany grew in Q2 by 14.5%. We almost doubled the turnover due to the acquisition in France and Sweden in rest of Europe. We have a slightly negative turnover development in rest of world, but this is pretty much depending on the refurbishment of our New York store. You remember rest of world means US and China, and you might remember that our flagship store in New York was closed in Q2 for almost 3 months and was totally refurbished. Having said that, by the way, after refurbishment, we are enjoying 15% comp sales growth in the New York store actually. After the strong Q2, I briefly sum up the first half year in terms of sales. 14.9% increase on a group basis, 13.5% from Germany, 97.9% rest of Europe, 1.5% rest of world, negatively coming from New York City in Q2. Like for like, 5.8% for the group. Germany increased in Q2 the comp sales growth. You remember we were slightly over 3% in Q1. Now we are up due to the strong development in Q2 by 5.9% in the German market. We grew by 5.5% on a 3.3% growth base in rest of Europe and 6.8% rest of world. Let me hand over how that translates into EBITDA, and I would like to hand over to Lutz, who will give you an indication on our EBITDA development.
Yeah, if you move on to the next page, you can see the four main drivers of our business, which we are reporting also during the roadshow and last meetings. System sales grow attractively again, over double-digit, 10.7%, driven, of course, by comp sales as well as by new openings. And the net sales, as Jochen already mentioned, 42% up to 78.2 million in the Q2 2017. Most important message is, of course, the margin development, and here we are very happy, as Jochen said already, that we can again announce a positive development over proportional in the EBITDA, so the clear commitment of the management team in Vapiano to increase margin going forward. And we can report a margin for second quarter of 11.4% in regards to adjusted EBITDA, as well as 14.4% in restaurant contribution, both driving the profitability increase over the last 3 months. So in total, a very attractive quarter, which gives us confidence for the way forward, and Jochen will report later on the outlook. To sum up for the half-year result, again here also more or less confirming the numbers from Q2, up sales 40.9% on over proportional on adjusted EBITDA to 15.9 million, which is a margin of 10.3%. If you look into the segment, and let me report a little bit more in detail on the page number 10 of the presentation on that, you see that we are recovering in Germany strongly. We could increase our restaurant contribution margin to 12.9%. That's a very attractive margin going forward. We, of course, have a like-for-like margin for the first half year of already 16%, so we are fully on track in regards to the development of the German market and further development happening for the second half of the year. Overall, the margin in Germany increased by the EBITDA for the segment increased by 58% from 3.1 to 4.9 million for Q2. Rest of Europe, also very positive development, of course, driven by the acquisitions in regards to the restaurant, with an increased margin to 18.2%. Franchise down, I think we explained that during the roadshow already, that this is due to the fact that we, of course, are consolidating now Sweden and France. Overall, again, 56% increase in EBITDA for the second quarter from 4.4 million euro to 6.9 million. If you refer to the rest of the world, you see a small decline for the quarter. Jochen already explained that we have closed our New York store for a very long period during that quarter. An amount of 0.5 million euro, meaning 500,000 euro, can be reported for that period in additional costs appearing during this period. If you consider that, then we are also on track for the rest of world development. And overall, we are very confident, based on the comp sales we are seeing for the second half of the year, to recover rest of world. If you look into the half-year result on the same basis without repeating the numbers, again, what is important, like-for-like margin in Germany increasing from 12.2% to 16%, in rest of Europe 16.5% to 17.6%, and also up in rest of world from 3.8% to 5.1%. Overall, the margin development in all segments, rest of Europe and Germany positive, and without the New York effect even positive for the rest of world, bringing up a total from 7.2 million in Germany, 38% up to 10 million EBITDA, 8 million to 13.5 for rest of Europe, up 68%, and slightly down for rest of world from 0.8 to 0.6. But overall, we're very happy with the result of the first half year as well. On page number 12, we have summarized the EBITDA adjustments. Let me highlight two main things on that page. First of all, we reported IPO costs for the first half year of roughly 4 million euro. This is, of course, related to all the costs that appeared during the process. Details you can see in the annual accounts for the half-year accounts. We expect smaller amounts of costs to come up in Q3 as we have to clean up the final agreements with some of the service providers and the banks. And we give a guidance of a cost of around 5 million for the IPO, which is in line with the analyst reports. Overall, the percentage of net sales on overhead costs went down from 5.6 to 5.3%, so we are in line with the guidance given during the roadshow in June and May. Reopening costs you may see improved, increased, of course, to 1.5 million, and that is due to our expansion program. In 2016, we had a limited number of expansions in the first half year, and that of course increased, and therefore the pre-opening costs. If you compare that to the number of openings which we did, you may think that this number might be too high, but you should consider that this number already includes pre-openings for the second half of the year, as we have to book the costs on the monthly basis and accrue them for the quarter close. In regards to the net debt development and the CapEx, we, of course, have seen a significant drop in leverage now from year-end 16 to over 4 to now roughly 2, in line with our expectations. So we are fully on track on that. We have a midterm target in regards to our leverage of 2x adjusted EBITDA. And, of course, we also invested heavily into the business. We invested in total 35.9 million, and to give you some more details on that, that investment is roughly 22 million for new openings, then 8 million for remodelings, 4 million for takeaway, and 2 million for additional capex, which we have in IT and other services on the central base. So that also gives us commitments for the future, of course, as this capex will pay off going forward. With that, I would like to hand over to Jochen, who will give a short summary on our year-end guidance.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lutz. Based on the results of the first half year, we substantiated our outlook for the full year 2017. And we will confirm restaurants openings in the range of 25 to 30, as we confirmed during pre-IPO. The group net sales will be expected in a range of 315 to 335 million euros. The like-for-like sales growth will be in a range of 3 to 5% group-wide for the full year 17, and our adjusted EBITDA will be expected to achieve 38 to 40 million euro turnover. Having said that, management is very confident that the positive development of the first half year will also be seen in the second half year. The first indications we have from the actual month are giving us strong confidence in that, and all measurements are absolutely fully in execution and in place and will contribute to the net sales, comp sales, and EBITDA growth of 2017. So having said that, we would be very happy to open the discussion and would be very happy to answer all your questions concerning first half year and Q2.
Thank you. Now we will begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it is your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question comes from Stuart Gordon. Your line is now open.
Good morning, guys. A few questions for you. The first one is on the like-for-like improvement in the quarter. I was wondering if you can quantify what was the Easter tailwind in the second quarter, and also what kind of tailwind you are seeing from the new takeaway and delivery offerings. Secondly, on Germany, despite an acceleration in like-for-like in the second quarter again, which is obviously positive, margins, I think, are restaurant contribution margins are down in the second quarter versus the first quarter. So I was just wondering if you could talk through why there's no operational gearing. And also on the back of this, what should we be thinking about German margins for the rest of this year in terms of recovery from 2016? And lastly, in openings, when you say 2017 is signed, can you quantify how many restaurants are signed and that you're still confident of coming out at the top end of the 25 to 30 range in terms of how you see openings happening? And just as a point of clarity in slide 3, you show 2018 as having the same openings as 2017, but my recollection was we were expecting to see sort of an increase in 2017 and in 2018. Is that a proportion of signings that you're showing in that slide? And also, could you give some color on that as to whether 2018 is in a similar position to how 2017 looked in terms of signings at this time last year? Thanks.
Thank you so much for your questions. Let me start with the last question. In terms of the visibility of the pipeline, we guided 25 to 30 openings. We have signed actually 32 contracts. We will, from today's perspective, we will be in the upper range of the 25 to 30 in the openings. It's just, to be very frank, we cannot say exactly if it is 30 or 29. Because sometimes there's one construction not on our side that takes a little bit too long. Like, as I said last time, London, Tottenham Court Road, they are a little bit behind their planning, so it might be that they will, all of the restaurant people will open then 1 or 2 months later. Having said that, so we confirm the upper end of the 25 to 30 in terms of the openings for this year. We are fully on track on our guidance here. For 2018, this is just giving you the proportion of the signed contracts. There are a lot of actual negotiations, and a couple of them will be in our board meeting next week. So we are also here very confident that the growth, which we assume will be in the next year, 35-plus, will be achievable for 2018. So I hope that answered your question. So pipeline 17 and 18 fully on track. In terms of the Easter tailwind for Q2, Easter tailwind for Q2 sums up to around 1.5%. And the delta in terms of the question on how much the takeaways are contributing, so about 50% of the comp sales growth is coming from the implementation of the takeaway business. If we come to the question of the EBITDA and the reopening margin development in Germany, Lutz will answer that right away.
As you said, the margin dropped slightly for Germany between Q1 and Q2. The main reason for that is that we had a remodeling, extensive one in Q2, as well as that the new stores who opened in the end of Q1, of course, are in the ramp-up phase now. But overall, on the like-for-like margin, you see that we have seen an improvement to 16%, which is a 1% point better than the Q1, where we got 15%. So overall, we are very happy with the like-for-like development, and the rest is more or less in line with the ramp-up.
Okay, thanks very much. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Nicolas Mauder, Kepler Cheuvreux. Your line is now open.
Good morning. From my side, I have two additional questions. The first one on the terminal ordering. Do you see an impact on guest behavior in your stores? Are people increasingly ordering together on one bill? You gave a figure of an increase of 12% increase in guest spending per ticket. Is that the overall ticket with ordering together, or is that per head? And my second question is the like-for-like increase that is, as we've learned, the non-takeaway increase, so basically the in-store like-for-like increase, is that based on ticket growth or footfall? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mauder, for your questions. Concerning terminals, From behavior side, we see that a lot of our guests are ordering together on one terminal bill. So we had with this with the terminal, we can see that the queuing will be, let's say, deleted by using the terminal, but also the synchronized cooking situation. So families are ordering on one bill. The increase, of course, is per head. So what we measure is what goes together with one core menu, meaning one pasta or one pizza. And the increase mainly is coming from additional specials our guests order when they order a pasta, for instance, plus additional beverages or dolces. So people tend to order more with the terminal machine than with the human interaction. So this is really a naked, let's say, increase per head of around 12% that we can see with the terminals. In terms of the like-for-like, question was to...
So the split between guest count increase and average ticket.
Between guest count and average ticket. This is pretty much different from country to country. So if we look on the German market, we have a slight increase in guest count on a comp sale basis, and we have a stronger increase on average ticket. So having said that, just to give you an idea on the German market, we have an increase of 6% in the spending per guest, and we have an increase of 0.5% in terms of the guest count. Other markets like the Austrian market, for instance, have a strong increase of 2.8% in guest count and an increase of 3% in average ticket. So you see it's different from country to country. Summing that up for the group, it's 75% from AUVs, higher AUVs, and 25% from guest increase from footfall.
Thank you for the answer.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are no more questions. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. We have a new question from James Roland Clark, Barclays. Your line is now open.
Oh, hi, good morning. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about your current trading in July and August. Are you seeing similar trends to that in Q2? And could you split that out by territory?
Mm-hmm.
And then also on the guidance for the full year of 3-5% like-for-likes, mm-hmm. that implies quite a material slowdown in H2. And I realise that Germany, the comps get a bit harder in Q4. But could you provide a bit of colour around the shape of like-for-likes in Q3 and Q4 and how materially you expect like-for-likes to fall in Q4? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your question. First of all, the comp sales actually in Q3 were up in Europe 4.9% comp and we're up in Germany 4.4% comp. And rest of world is up by 0.8% due to the reopening of the New York restaurants. So for the second half of the year, I mean, I understand your question. We're coming now from 5.8 first half year. For the second half of the year, we give the guidance of 3-5%. I would say today that we will be the upper end of this guidance, so we will be pretty close to the 5%. But certainly, as you just mentioned, we have to take into account that in November and December, we saw for the first period after PR hiccup, we saw already positive comps in the German market, and we adjusted that in our guidance. Having said that, you might expect the upper end of the guidance that we gave this morning.
Thank you. Can I just ask, what are the Q4 16 comps for Germany?
Just a moment. Give me 1 minute. I think it's 2.8, but I have to look it up. Sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Just a second. 2.2. It's up 2.2% in the German market for Q4. We were slightly negative still in October and had a positive development in November and December.
So the comps for Q4 are 2.8 for Germany, Europe 5.5, and rest of world 5.7. And for Q3, -6. 4.5 and 2.6.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Ms. Caroline Gulliver. Your line is now open.
Hi, guys. Actually, fortunately, most of my questions have actually now been asked. Let me just ask a couple of, which is great, a couple of follow-ups. Just on, you've done 51 takeaway rollouts now. I was just wondering if there have been any learnings from the initial ones you've done, particularly as you've done it in other countries, whether there's been any sort of change in the dynamics.
Well, first of all, yes, there have been learnings, and we also see that, by the way, where we have already comp sales in the takeaway business, we are increasing by 22% this year. This is two restaurants. It was Fürth and Augsburg, where we already have now comp sales just purely for the takeaway business, and we experienced here a significant increase of 22%. Why is that so? Number one, certainly the operational excellency is growing by the teams with running the takeaways for a longer period. Number two, we are adapting step-by-step additional delivery services. As you know, we just started first with Lieferando, then we put Foodora on. Actually, we are in finalizing the negotiations for Deliveroo for the German market as an example. So the learnings are, number one, how far can you step-by-step increase the radius of your delivery area around your takeaway? Because for Vapiano, it's always extremely important that you deliver really high quality, meaning warm, fresh, and attractive food to our guests. And with having all the algorithms, it's always that you have to really test and try out how the infrastructure around your takeaway is, how fast you can go through the streets and the cities. So learning number one is increasing step by step by measuring KPIs and guest feedback on how far you can go. Can it only be a 2K radius around, or can it even be a 5 or 6K radius around the restaurant, number one. Number two, we learned a lot on different marketing initiatives. As you know, we are very proud that we have the converter, meaning we have the guest data of our guests that's coming from the platforms that create traffic. And we learned a lot on different marketing initiatives which are most appealing to our guests to, let's say, motivate them to go more often to the restaurants. Number three, the final learning is it's very important to set up the whole package from day zero. What does that mean? Technically, the whole package to set up also the takeaway assortment in the restaurants, and even, you know, don't make any compromise on building them out. So really build them out in the full-fledged version. So these are the major learnings. Certainly, we have from an operational basis, which is always very important, we have in the meantime a great team of ambassadors who are really trained to manage operational efficient the takeaways. And those teams will be always, before we set up new restaurants, will train the teams very strongly. Having said that, we do the same effort of training like we do for the normal restaurant business, which is also in execution since the beginning of the year. And all of that together contributes to a very solid results of the takeaways in terms of EBITDA and turnover.
Great, thank you. And can you just remind us, given that you've already done 51, how many you expect to have done by the year end and when you expect to complete the program?
Well, we gave, if you remember, post-IPO, we gave a guidance of 50 to 60. You might assume that we will go up to around 70 to 75 end of the year. The rest, to be even faster, depends very much on the administrative issues from the cities, meaning, you know, you don't have to make admissions or permissions for emergency exits and things like that. But 70 to 75, I can confirm today, which will be more than we guided during our roadshows pre-IPO.
Okay, thank you. And then it sounds to me, listening to this call, that a lot of the guidance you've given, you actually expect to be near the top end in terms of new store rollout, like-for-like, the takeaway rollout, and so forth. Can we infer from that the guidance you've given for sales, you expect to be near the top end? And would that also be true for EBITDA? Just trying to work out whether guidance is meant to be sort of, you know, the midpoint is realistic, or whether it, you know, you're very comfortable with the sort of the guidance you've given.
No, from the guidance, we feel very comfortable that we can achieve the upper range in all KPIs, meaning restaurant openings, meaning group net sales, meaning the like-for-like sales, which we just discussed, as well as the EBITDA.
Great. Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Christian Bruns, Equinet Bank. Your line is now open.
Yes, hello, Christian Bruns.
Good morning.
I have a question on the development of waiting times and if there are any measures to spread the customer frequency across the day.
Mm-hmm. Well, Christian, thank you so much. Welcome, and thanks for the great operational question that you bring in this discussion. Waiting times is, for us, is a very important topic, as you can imagine. That's why we decided to enlarge the guest journeys that we can offer to our guests. Having said that, implementing the opportunity in more and more restaurants to either order online, pick up in the restaurant and eat in the restaurant, plus the terminal, show in the peak time very strong decreases of the waiting times for our guests because, as you know, we added additional cooking stations for the takeaway or we dedicate cooking stations for the terminal. And if I look on the development, for instance, of the terminal is delivering between 10 to 15% of the turnover of a restaurant during a day, and it's used, we track exactly when the terminal is used, and it's used very strongly exactly during the peak time. So that seems to be a very good answer for our guests to experience a very good peak time at Vapiano. That's number one. Number two, there are a lot of operational measurements, which is also part of the operational excellency program that we discussed on the roadshow and pre-IPO, where the process efficiency in the restaurants is very much in focus to decrease the waiting times as well. Having said that, it's all about preparing the mise en place, it's all about pre-preparing the ingredients, etc., etc. So that brings us to productivity increases. That's what we measure. So having said how many guests in the working or labor hour we can cover, and that's part of the productivity program, and we experience 5 to 15% productivity increase within the scope of Vapiano, from country to country different, and that's part of what we rolled out very intensively in the last couple of weeks to bring that also into the international scope of Vapiano. So having said that, yes, we experience shorter waiting times due to the three guest journeys plus productivity measurements. And
great.
I think that's also highly appreciated by our guests with increasing footfall, especially in the more mature markets.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. There are no more questions at the moment. I will hand back to the speakers.
So if there are no more questions, I would like, first of all, to thank all of you for joining our first earnings call this morning. I just want to confirm what Lutz and me said. We are very confident to be fully on track for the second half of the year and the upper end of our guidance. We're looking forward to have a close exchange with all of you next to the roadshows, where you can see us very shortly in Munich at the Bernberg Roadshow, and of course for every additional one-to-one to go more in detail on our development and to give you full transparency. Thank you for your good questions. Thank you for joining the call, and have a great start in the rest of the week or in the rest of the day. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.